music. He still likes to mess with music that we use for praise and worship. Even when we're all together in one place, he'll try to distract. So we recognize his strategy. My brother word. I talked about salvation, and we kind of had an elementary lesson about salvation, but it's good for us to be refreshed in some of these subjects, because those of us that have been saved for a long time, we know why we're saved. We know what it takes to be saved. We hope that we're progressing in our the way we live as saved individuals. But for new people, we need to remind them why we need salvation and why we need to do certain things. So this morning, my message is training the flesh, training the flesh. We're talking about that, the human part of us, that sinful part of us. You see, because when we get saved, our mind is still needing to be renewed, because our mind is our soulish realm. And when we get saved, we have a lot of behaviors that we had in the world, and they don't all go away miraculously when we say Jesus come into our lives. And so that's why right now God is leading me to talk about these subjects, because we expect people to be able to live correctly and not have some of these bad habits that we had in the world, some of this conversation that we had in the world. But we need to understand that that does not all go away because I said, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And he accepted my invitation and caused me to be saved. But that is not the end of the story. It's only the beginning. Because some of us have been operating in our flesh for many, many years. And we still, as saved people, some of us still have some things that we do in the flesh, meaning that they're not godly behaviors. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that. And this may be a two-part sermon because I may give you all the information that I want to have. Talk about revival and I'm sending a revival. And when God does send a revival, whether it's in our life only or it's a big move of God that everybody gets involved in, we are then changed in some ways. And I use myself as an example, been a Christian a long time. God used me to be a part of the Billy Graham crusade in 1981. And in that crusade, I was an altar counselor. And so when he would give the invitation, Billy Graham down there at the San Jose State Stadium, University Stadium, he would give the invitation. Then we were assigned one of the persons that came forward in the altar call. And so I was doing that ministry at that time, and actually went back after that crusade and received the assignment to be the trainer for the altar counselors, that we continued to use that way of ministry at the church I was attending, which was St. John Missionary Baptist Church at the time. And then, of course, it was not too long after that, maybe a year, that God moved me out of St. John and sent me to Faith Christian Fellowship. If you read my book, you can see where I talk about some of these things. The reason I'm telling you that this morning is that we are kind of doing a mini revival. Last time I taught on salvation, this time God has me teaching on the flesh. how to control and train the flesh. That side of us that is not of God, that worldly side. Because we all have it, because we're in this world. But Jesus said he wanted us to be in the world, but not of the world, okay? So we have to learn how to train this flesh. So you have people, I do as a pastor, have people come to me for counsel wanting to train their flesh, trying to break various habits, okay? And then some people don't want to break those habits. They want to continue with those habits, but those habits are interfering with their progress as far as what God wants to do with them, okay? So this morning, Lord Jesus, we just ask you to anoint the ears of the hearers and cause their hearts to be open to receive. How you want us to train the flesh, how you help us to train the flesh so that we can be the men and women that you want us to be and not be of the world. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we thank God for this opportunity to do that. So when people come to me for counsel to train their flesh and to try to break those habits that they have, they want to train their bodies not to overeat. They want to train their minds to think the right thoughts. And thought life is really important. I want to say that. Thought life is very important because whatever you're thinking in your mind, you will eventually do. And I know I have some witnesses in here. If you dwell on that thing long enough, you'll get up and do it. And so thought life becomes really important. So that's why it says in the word that we need to have our minds renewed. We need to get that flesh side out of our thinking. Stinking thinking, you know, those of you that are in recovery, you know that term is used. And so it's a good term because we come, when we get saved, we're stinking thinking. And so we have to understand that we want to train our bodies if we want to train our bodies not to overeat, if we want to train our minds to think the right thoughts, then we have to do what the Word of God says. And we renew our minds. We want to renew our minds by getting the Word of God inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds. We need the Word of God to help us to train the flesh. And so we are taught to train the flesh at home, at school, if we're going to school, at work, and even in the church. And then, you know, we need to understand how to do that. So I have a lot of people tell me that, you know, they have certain issues that they just can't seem to get rid of. Those things keep coming back. And so we have to keep on working on that problem that we can't train the flesh to live a Christian life, if that's what's happening. You know, the flesh or the sinful part of us cannot please God. So we're looking at a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, that says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that fleshly side of us, that sinful nature that we were born with. You see, we were born with a sinful nature because our mothers and fathers, our mothers conceived us, and and gave birth to us, but we don't come here saved. And so we know that there is a church denomination, I like to call them, that does teach that, that because your mama is saved, you okay, we just baptize you with a little sprinkle of water, and you're taken care of. But that is not true. That is not true. You know, if your mother's saved, your daddy's saved, everybody in your house is saved, and you are born and come into that family, you don't ordinarily get that privilege. But God allows us to come to maturity in that understanding. So as a baby, baptizing you as a baby does not save you. If somebody told you that, I'm so sorry. It's not true. Water never saves you, but especially these poor little kids that get that water sprinkled on them. And I don't have no problem with the sprinkling, you know, because I believe in leading the little ones early to the Lord. As you all know, I lead my grandchildren and my great-grands, I lead them to the Lord as soon as I think they can say it, because what you say out of your mouth is what you can have. And so I want the covering on those little ones. And so I lead them to the Lord. But it's not the water. Baptism is another subject that I will teach on. But water never saves you. It's what you say out of your mouth to the Lord. You invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. And then that's where salvation comes in. So that teaching that because your mama is, you are already taken care of, is not true. And so if you read back in the scriptures, and I didn't intend to go this much in detail, but I think it's important that people understand. If you go back into the scriptures, you will see that Jesus entered the work that God brought him here to do at 12 years old. So there is a teaching that says that you shouldn't let children accept the Lord until they're 12 years old. But that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural at all. When they can walk and talk and say what it takes to accept Jesus, they can then be led to the Lord. And we need to do that as soon as possible. So I get them while they're really, really tuned in to God. You see, because these little ones, when they're born, they're connected to God. They're tuned in to spiritual things that we have forgotten. Because once we are living in this world, we begin to get in the flesh. That's what we're talking about this morning. Get in the flesh. Our sensitivity to spiritual things will wane, will go away unless we stay connected, unless we pray and study the word. But these little ones are so in touch. They are so in touch. And I'm going to give you this example because it's an interesting thing that happens. My granddaughter Erica gave birth to her son, who is the youngest of her children. Now, she's got, you know, three other little girls. And the oldest little girl, Sarai, her name came from the Bible because Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, before God changed her name was Sarai. And Erica did not know that when she named Sarai. But I said to her when she told me that was what she was naming the baby, I said, oh my God, that's a wonderful name for her because it's connected to the scriptures. And, you know, Sarah became Sarah, but she was Sarai at first. And so we always pay attention. I always pay attention to these little ones because sometimes God speaks through them and we just don't pay attention. So long story short, we're now having, she's got two sisters, Sarai has two sisters, and now this little boy. And this little boy is just amazing to me because it seems like he's been here a long time. He's already walking, trying to keep up with those girls, and he just had his first birthday. So he's up and about. But when Sarai was told that she had a little brother. Somebody said to her, well, what would you name him? And she said, Jacob. And I thought that was very interesting because, you know, Jacob is an Old Testament character as well. But, you know, I got to thinking about it later. Jacob is, his name means supplanter, underminder. That's what really Jacob was. If you know the story of Jacob, Jacob stole his brother's birthright. That's what he did. Later on, God, of course, forgave him, but he stole his brother's birthright when the daddy was dying. But then I looked at that thing. You see, you need to begin to look at things in a spiritual way. And I'm off the subject now, y'all. So this is where the Holy Spirit is taking me. You have to look at things spiritually. And Jacob, it was the means supplanter or underminer. So this little boy comes last, I hope. We'll see. This little boy comes after these three girls, and so in a way, he kind of stole the attention from them. Is that kind of like a underminder or a supplanter? It was interesting that she selected Jacob, but his name is not Jacob. His name is his name for his father. But I like to call him Jacob because I remember what this little girl said. She was six or seven, and she said that out of her mouth, not really understanding how significant that was to what was happening. Because, you know, every time we have a new baby in the house, that moves the other children out of their places. They then have to make room for baby. So she said, I want to call him Jacob. So I'll just leave that where it is. So spiritual things are spiritual things. And when you begin to look at things in a spiritual manner, God will help you see a lot of things. So that's, as Brother Hagin would say when he was alive, that's just a little side trip that I took you all on. And I know right now we're not going to finish this teaching today on training the flesh. But we want to just get in this. So God did not create us to live the spiritual life with physical strength or soul power. Soul meaning mind, will, and emotions. So if we get that clear in our minds that we are tripart beings, three parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. So people use soul a lot. But soul, the soulless realm is your mind, will, and emotions, okay? And then you have a spirit. You have a spirit that is not saved until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then when you invite Jesus into your life, your spirit then is converted. That's the saved part of you. And so then the spirit, your human spirit is connected with the Holy Spirit. And then you begin to have that communication with God. Then you can't have communication with God if you're not saved. You have to be saved in order to communicate with God. And when people backslide, let me just talk about that. When they revert back to old behavior, and go back out in the world, go back to using dope, go back to jail, and not as seeking the Lord in jail, because I got some saved folks. I know some saved folks in jail right now. I don't mind helping them to know Jesus Christ while they're sitting in that jail cell. And most of you know that I'm a chaplain for the San Mateo County Correctional Facilities, and I thank God so much for that opportunity and everyone that I can help to get saved while they sitting in that jail cell. Because, you know, Apostle Paul went to jail. So we have to remember that, you know, jail, God goes to jail. God comes to jail. Jesus said, when you were in jail, when I was in jail, you visited me. And his disciples said, when, Lord? Because they didn't understand. But Jesus going to jail. So I'm kind of wandering around here, but it's all going to make sense, y'all. It's all going to make sense. So we know that Romans 8, 5 and through 8 tells us that because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that's where we're going with this. The carnal mind stands against God. So if you still have that stinking thinking, it's hindering you, is what we're trying to say. And it is not under the authority of the law of God, that carnal mind. And it can never be trained to perform the way God wants you to perform. So we have to get rid of that flesh. So the flesh not only stands against the spirit, it enters into conflict with the spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit. And in 1 Peter 2:11, the word says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." War against the mind, will, and emotions. 1 Peter 2:11. The flesh is in contention with and even an enemy of the spirit, the Holy Spirit. An enemy of the Holy Spirit. And it will be an enemy to your human spirit. Furthermore, it brings hurt to the soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. The world says, have a few drinks. It'll do you good. However, in reality, it destroys our ability to think clearly. Did you ever think about that? You know, and we all had our time with the little alcohol. If you didn't, you did something else. But it causes your mind to be cloudy. We all know that. Whatever that you put in your system, any substance that is not of God is going to cloud your mind, will, and emotion. So we have to remember that. So when we, you know, we try to do what we try to do, God did not create us to live the spiritual life with physical strength or soul power. So when we try to do so, the result is death, opposed to life and peace. And you can be dead walking around because you're spiritually dead. You have no connection with God. The devil is ruling your life, dictating to you, because he doesn't ask you. God gives us a free will, but the devil doesn't. He demands of you. And he puts you in a position where you have to bow down to him. When you are involved with substances, he has total control over you. And not only that, you know, just we sometimes just reject anything that has to do with God. And when we do that, we turn our mind, will, and emotions over to the devil. And the result is spiritual death. So we need to understand the carnal mind stands against God. And it's not under the authority of the law of God. And it can never be trained to perform. We have got to receive Jesus Christ. And once we receive him as our personal Savior, then we begin the process of God giving us, renewing our minds with the word of God. You see, that's how your mind's going to get changed. That's how your mind's going to get renewed. You're going to have to be in the word of God. Your thinking has to be changed if you are going to be obedient to God, because you've been following a liar ever since the beginning of your life, if you've never been saved. And then those who are backslidden, they're worse off because they knew better. The Bible says, "And to know to do good and do it not is sin." So here you were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, serving the Lord. And then all of a sudden you go back and return to your vomit, return to your mess. And when you do that, we are told in the scripture that it's harder to help a backslider than it is somebody who has never been saved. So we need to understand that when we try to do the work of the enemy, the result is death, spiritual death. You walking around, what is that? It was a film or something, the Walking Dead or whatever it was called. But anyway, when you're not saved, you're a dead person. Your spirit is dead, and you have no understanding of what it means when people who are living godly begin to try to share Jesus Christ with you. And we that lead people to the Lord always ask God to open their eye, and we ask them to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, because that scripture tells us if we do that, we will be saved. So the flesh not only stands against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it enters into conflict with the Holy Spirit. The flesh wars against the Spirit. We find 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, war against the mind, will, and emotions," because that's the soulish realm. The flesh is in contention with and even is an enemy of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an enemy to your spirit. And furthermore, it brings hurt to the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. I want to get that clear. That's what your soul. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. But then you have this spirit, the spirit of God that God put in you that needs to be saved, because that's what gets saved. So you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you shall be saved. Well, when you say that with your mouth and invite Christ into your life, you get saved. But that soulish realm, your mind, will, and emotion still needs to be renewed, because you still got that stinking thinking. And that stinking thinking will try to get you to behave just like you behaved before you accepted Jesus Christ. The devil is not wanting you to change, because when you change your behavior and your thinking, he's lost you. You're not fooled by his lies anymore. And so he wants to keep you just the way he had you. And of course, we don't want that to happen. So we began, those of us that the senior believers, try to help you understand that you want to get your mind renewed and try to help you. That's what altar counseling does. That's what Bible study does. That's what prayer does. All of that causes us to mature in the things of God. So God did not mean for us to compete in spiritual battles in the flesh. Our flesh cannot fight the spiritual war. And then we look at 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And I want you to do me a favor with this scripture. This scripture is wonderful. It helps you understand what kind of war you're fighting. If you read this scripture, you can go and look at maybe 3 translations of the scripture, and look this scripture up, and each you get a clear picture of what the word is saying to you. So you might do besides King James, you might do the Living Bible. You might do the Amplified Bible. You might do one other. I'm trying to think of what other good translation for you to read. But if you do that, so you get this clear in your spirit what the Apostle Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. So do you remember what happened to the sons of Sceva? We had a lesson about that. I think we preached on that lesson. And so you could find that in Acts 19 and 15 about the sons of Sceva. They went into a house to cast out a demon from a man. And the demon said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the men ran out of the house naked. It does no good to try to counsel with a demon. I know, and of course I have tried it, and it doesn't work. So allow me to list 12 spiritual weapons that I have found. Now, these are 12 spiritual weapons that I have found, and then I'm going to stop right here, because this is bigger than one Sunday. I'm going to have to take my time and help you with overcoming the flesh and training the flesh. So here's the scriptures that I want you to look at. And that's Ephesians 6:17. And then we want to look at meditation. Isaiah 26:3. We want to look at revelation knowledge in Daniel. Go back to the Old Testament in Daniel 11:32. And the prayer of faith in Ephesians 6:16. And then look at praise. Psalms 149:6-9. And the name of Jesus. Mark 16:17-18. The blood of Jesus. Revelations 12:11. A submitted life to God. James 4:7. Obedience to God. Deuteronomy 28:1-7. A pure conscience. 1 Timothy 1:8-18. The unity of believers. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's all. Oh my God, I had enough. Praise God. And so we're going to look at those scriptures. And I'm thinking that I might want to tie the Bible study in with this message, because it's so much information to try to get to you just on Sunday. So we might review these scriptures in Bible study this coming Wednesday. Let's talk about these scriptures so you get an understanding, because you can listen to me and I can give you all these scriptures, and then you try to go and do what I asked you to do, and it's making, you know, no sense, or you have all these questions. So let's do that. Let's take this teaching that we're doing, training the flesh, and let's go at Wednesday in Bible study. We will review all of these scriptures that I have given you. You can read them now and read them in more than one translation. If you have questions, write them down, and we will do that on Wednesday, okay? So I'm going to stop right now. I think I've given you enough about how to deal with this flesh side that we have, even though we're godly men and women now. We save, sanctify, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're still having some struggles. So we're going to talk about this. We'll talk about overcoming the flesh. Talk about, you know, the consequences and the responses that go along with this subject. See, this is a big subject, and God is just wanting me to help you go through this, because we need to get rooted and grounded in what we believe, and we need to know that we are living in perilous times. It's hard to live a slave life, and the more ammunition that you have, and the more you understand how to put that flesh under, the better off you're going to be. We'll all be better off. And so we're just going to continue with this subject. So with that said, I'm going to close now. And we just have our own folks on this morning. I don't see any visitors. So we pray that next time we meet for service on next Sunday morning, we'll be able to have praise and worship. We'll be able to do it, what God wants us to do. We're not defeated. We're not defeated at all. And that song that Reverend attempted to share with us, the man that's singing that song says, don't let the devil ride, because if you let him ride, he will want to drive. That means that when you let the devil in your business, he wants to take over and direct the business. He wants to be the choir director. He wants to be the preacher. He wants to be the intercessor. Whatever you're doing spiritually, he wants to control you, so you cannot do it. That's what that song is really saying. And I thank God that Reverend did at least play it. We couldn't half understand it, but thank God for the word. We don't want to let Satan ride, because if we let him ride, he's going to want to drive. So praise God, Reverend. Can you dismiss us this morning?
Amen. Let me, I hope everything's working right, because he was trying to ride my program today. He was just trying to be all up in it, but we don't let him ride. And he, and training the flesh, I don't know if everybody caught that, but we all need a little bit of training. We all need a little bit of training, because there's too much out there that's trying to fool us and trying to get us and y'all know me, I always tell the truth, and I try to always tell the truth, and I don't like profanity, and I don't use it, but I notice my mind, especially when I got to go to work on Sundays, here I notice my mind saying these words, and I don't, and I try to control it, but the enemy has just creeped up in there, and then those words then came in my mind. Now, they don't even come out of my mouth, not even when I'm in private by myself. I don't let them. But see, I have to train my flesh to understand that that's the enemy working in my mind. He's working in my mind. I overeat. That's the enemy working in my body. And then I wake up the next morning and I want to know why my stomach hurt. Well, you ate a pound of food. So we have to train the flesh, and we have to learn how to do it, because most of the things that we do, we don't mean to. We want to be godly people. We want to be more of him and less of us. But we first have to learn how to do that. So, I'm looking forward to more teaching on training the flesh, because I need to do it myself also. So we thank you for that message, and we're looking forward to hearing more about it, even in Bible study. And for y'all who don't join us in Bible study, if you could on Wednesday, it's important. This Wednesday, I work to 7:30, so I on my way home driving, I will be listening, if not talking. But we need to get more and more into Bible study if you can join. Because it's very important for us to understand the word, and it's very important that we know the word, because the enemy is trying to give us another word. The enemy wants us to believe other words, but we need to know the word of God. We need to carry that with us all through the day. You know, the enemy wants to fight me on these Sundays. Whenever you see me in this ugly yellow shirt, that means the enemy won. If you see me in an ugly yellow shirt on a Sunday, the enemy done won, he thinks. But when I get to work, I'm going to remember the word of God. So anyway, that was a good preaching. I don't need to say much more. on that, I'm just going to be quiet, but don't let the devil drive y'all. Y'all heard what the pastor said. Don't let him drive. He'll try to go too far. He wants you looking in the rearview mirror instead of straight ahead on him. So I'm gonna shut up now. But so Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the message, and we thank you for the messenger, Father God. We thank you that we have a teacher who wants to teach us the word, not just preach to us and hoop and holler, but want to teach us your word, Father God. So we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for each and everyone here this morning, Father God. And we thank you for the ones that will listen later, Father God. We pray that they get the understanding that we have gotten this morning, Father God. We want to ask that hedge of protection over each and every one of us, Father God. And we ask that hedge of protection over the families that are represented here today as well, Father God. So we just give you thanks today, Father God. We know, Father God, that the enemy is trying to attack, Father God, but we pray against the enemy's attacks and his wiles, Father God. We pray for the things that are going on in this world right now, Father God, that is not of you, Father God. We pray against those natural disasters, Father God, that they want to say, Father God, of acts of God. We know that those are not acts of God, Father God, and we pray that nobody gets that in their mind that these things that are happening is acts of God, Father God. So we just lift these things up to you, Father God, as we carry on our week, Father God. We always pray that there you are with us in the midst, Father God. So we just give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, because all the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody.
God bless.
Y'all have a good week right now.
Y'all be safe. Have a good day at work.
Okay, right. I'm going to try. Y'all have a good one.
Okay. See you. Well, we'll have prayer tomorrow night, but definitely Wednesday we'll talk about those scriptures that go along with this teaching. So have a good day. Be safe.
You too. Bye.